You know, sometimes I don't think we don't fully comprehend all that the resurrection entails in our lives. You know, the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back goes back to the resurrection. The fact that we are going to be judged someday goes back to the resurrection. The fact that we have a faithful and merciful high priest in heaven right now is because of the resurrection. And there are so many aspects of our daily lives as believers that we fail to realize go right back to the resurrection. In Luke 24, it says in verse number 5, it says, "And as they were afraid," we're just going to start here, then we're going to move on, but it says, "And as they were afraid and bowed down their heads to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words." Have you ever been told something by somebody and then you forgot about what they told you, and then maybe you did something that if you would have remembered what they told you, you never would have done it? Maybe you felt kind of embarrassed, you know, afterwards that you did what you did. I'm sure we've all probably had some sort of instance like that in our lives. And here, the angel comes to these ladies and they're like, "Hey, don't you remember what he told you? Hey, he told you he was going to rise again." You know, the fact is this morning, there are many things that the Word of God has told us. You know, and someday are we going to stand before Christ and be embarrassed because we forgot or we did not live according to what he had said? You know, and then at that moment, it is going to be too late to go back and to change what we have done. You know, in John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49, we are reminded of what we are going to be judged by someday. John 12:48-49, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." So notice that. "And receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." You know, this morning, are you a receiver of God's words? Are you a rememberer of God's words? Or are you a rejecter of God's words? You know, as we look at the resurrection this morning, you know, there was about 3 years ago, my dad was gone on Resurrection Sunday as well, and I preached. And that day, I focused more on the events that happened surrounding the resurrection. But today, we're going to be looking at some of the results of the resurrection and the power associated with the resurrection that we need to understand if we are going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in our lives. The first truth, the first power that we need to see concerning the resurrection is the power of salvation. If you could take your Bibles, please, and turn to Acts chapter 4. You know, after the resurrection, as you look in the book of Acts, one of the key messages of the apostles, of those that followed Christ, was the proclamation of the resurrection. It was a theme of their messages. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "Be it known unto you all," here's Peter preaching, proclaiming the gospel, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. So this is the one that you rejected that now is become the head of the corner. Neither the preeminence of Christ we see there. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Yes, the work on the cross was the key to our salvation, but we find the resurrection really completing, putting that final stamp on what took place on the cross as Christ rose up from the grave, showing his power over death, showing his power over sin. And as the apostles are proclaiming his resurrection, they are proclaiming that there is salvation in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is because of his resurrection that death and sin have been finally conquered. You know, this morning you may know about the fact of the resurrection. You may know about the cross. But have you placed your complete faith, your complete dependence on what Jesus Christ accomplished for you on that cross and showed his power over sin through the resurrection? In Romans chapter 4 and verse 23, it very clearly declares that our justification is through the resurrection. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 25. It says, let's begin in verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. What's justification? Well, it's being declared righteous. You know, there is not going to be anything that enters into heaven that defiles, that defileth. And this morning, how are you going to be justified? Well, it is only as your life comes under the power of the resurrected Lord. As he justifies you, as you are declared righteous because of the power that he showed over sin and over death as he was resurrected from the grave. You know, this morning, have you placed your complete confidence in Christ alone, realizing that there is nothing of yourself that can get you, that can bring the forgiveness of sins in your life? You know, I was talking to a man this week. A couple of us were on soul winning. And, you know, he could not accept, you know, Christ alone. You know, he had to add works to his salvation. You know, and what is he saying? Well, he's saying the resurrection isn't powerful enough to save me. There has to be something else there to help me along. You know, do you recognize this morning that it is the resurrecting power of Christ alone this morning that can save you? Nothing else. No good work. No baptism. Nothing that can save you from your sin. It is only the power of Christ alone that was demonstrated in his resurrection that can save you this morning. In John chapter 14 and verse 19, Jesus Christ stated, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me." Then he says, "Because I live, ye shall live also." This morning, the only life that we have is in Christ, and that is because of the resurrection. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 10 says, "But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ," notice, "who hath" what? "Abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through" what? "Through the gospel." What is the gospel? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 clearly declares to us what the gospel is. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ
died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. How is life and immortality brought about? It is through the gospel. You know, the Apostle Paul said that Christ had not sent him to baptize, but to what? But to preach the gospel. Folks, the only way you can have salvation this morning is through the gospel, through the resurrected power of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to add anything on to it this morning, you are saying that the resurrection was not powerful enough to conquer sin, to conquer death. Do you truly believe in the power of salvation that was demonstrated in the resurrection? But we also see, because of the resurrection, I had already touched on it earlier, is the judgment that is going to take place one day because of the resurrected Savior. In John chapter 5, we have the power of salvation, but we also have the power of judgment. John chapter 5 and verse 22 says, verse 21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him." You know, the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the grave, and someday He is going to be the judge of all mankind. You know, the fact is, it takes God to judge. Why? Because it takes somebody, this is showing His deity, it takes somebody that knows, that understands, that sees everything in the heart of man in order to judge him. You know, we have judges in our land today, but the fact is, you know, there may be many right decisions that are made, but because they're man, at times there are also what? Wrong decisions that are made. But Jesus Christ is God, and because of that, He is going to be the perfect judge. And because He rose up from the grave, He is going to judge. And it is, as we looked at earlier, is going to be His words that judge us. Yes, there was a crucified Savior, but He has risen from the dead. And His words are going to judge you someday. In Acts chapter 17, as Paul was preaching, he declared unto the people in verse number 31, Acts 17:31, says, "Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that what? He hath raised Him from the dead." We see the judgment that is going to take place. Christ is going to judge the world. And how is it going to take place? "Wherefore He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead." You know, if Christ would have never raised up from the dead, people would be saying, "Boy, how is He going to judge us? He's still in the grave." But the fact is, He has risen from the dead. And He is going to judge each one of us someday. You know, this morning you can be assured of what is going to take place at the great white throne judgment. You know, are you going to have to stand there? Or are you going to partake of that power of salvation so that you do not have to stand before that judgment seat and be condemned to hell for all eternity? You know, gathering together this morning to celebrate the resurrection is not just some ritualistic event, but there is power, there is much meaning behind the resurrection. One of those aspects is the power of judgment, is that someday Jesus Christ is going to judge this world. You know, the fact as believers, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what you have done. You know, what types of things are we laying up? Is it gold, silver, and precious stones, or is it wood, hay, and stubble, things that are going to pass away? Yes, the resurrection is a glorious truth and one that we should relish in today. But it is also a truth that should motivate us to realize that Jesus Christ rose up from the grave and we are going to be judged by Him someday. But not only do we see the power of salvation and the power of judgment, but we also see the power of sanctification as seen in the resurrection. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. Ephesians 1:19, it says, and begin verse 18 to get a little bit of the context. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And it's interesting, you think back on Luke chapter 24, and as those ladies were there, and the angel proclaimed unto them and said, hey, remember ye the words that were spoken? And the angel reminded them of what Christ had said. And all of a sudden, they were what? They were enlightened. They remembered what Christ had said. And here, we need to really, in a sense, have the same thing happen to us. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So really here, He's showing here the power, really it's the power of salvation again demonstrated in that Christ, the same power that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead is the same power that worked in our lives when we were saved. And as we grow in our understanding of that power that took place in our lives, it can cause us to what? To grow in our knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished in our lives. Notice that verse 20, which He wrought in Christ. So according to the working of His mighty power, which what? Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So the same power that it took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that works in us as we believe, as we depend upon Jesus Christ for our salvation. And as believers, we need to recognize that that power has worked in us. And it should enlighten us. It should help us to see the hope of our calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You know, as we dwell upon what has taken place in our lives because of the resurrection, it ought to draw us closer to our Savior. We find in Ephesians chapter 2, here it shows us how we have been quickened. We were dead in our sins. But through Christ, we have been resurrected. And what is this going to be saying for all eternity? Verse number 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, throughout eternity, we are going to be trophies to the grace of God and what He accomplished in our lives because of the resurrection. To think this morning that the same power that it took to raise Christ up from the dead is the same power that works in us at salvation. And to think that we don't deserve any of it. And what God has mightily accomplished in our lives and throughout eternity. What does it say? That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, that power of the resurrection can be applied to our account. That salvation, that conquering of sin and death. And as God, through His grace, works that in our lives, what is it for? Well, it is for the honoring and glorifying of our Savior. The honor and glorifying of our Lord as He shows that great power in conquering that sin, in conquering that death in our lives. You know, that fact ought to humble us this morning. That we can be participants in that grace of God being demonstrated in our lives. You know, the power of the resurrection, it's not just something that happened in ages past, but it is something that affects us right now. Now, do you appreciate that grace of God that has been demonstrated in your life? Do you realize that throughout eternity, that grace is going to be magnified? You know, as we get to, if you're saved this morning, as you enter heaven's gates, you know, we'll probably gain a greater understanding of how much grace has been demonstrated in our lives. You know, this morning, do you realize that power that has taken place as God has conquered sin in our lives because of the resurrection? It ought to humble us. It ought to cause us to stay away from those things that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, the apostle says, that I may know Him and the what? And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. You know, this morning, do you recognize that the power of the resurrection, what it accomplished? You know, as you go through trials, as you go through things in your life, do you realize that the resurrection power, if you're saved this morning, has come upon your life, and someday you will receive a new body, this old body will be resurrected? It should cause you to be faithful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we find that the Apostle Paul, why was he able to continue to go forward in his life, even though he was going through all these perilous times? You know, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know, we don't, in our land, go through some of the same things that the Apostle Paul went through on the side of persecution. And he said, verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, for we which live are always delivered unto death, always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What does he say in verse 14? Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. You know, folks, we can't stay focused on the hardships that we are going through in this life. We need to put our eyes on Christ. We need to see that, you know what, someday we are going to be raised up, and the victory is going to be complete. And why is it? Because of the resurrection. You know, the resurrection can give us the power of endurance as we think upon the fact that someday this body is going to be changed. You know, someday these conflicts are going to be passed. And we're going to have that perfect body because of the resurrection. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I know we're going all over the place this morning, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, notice what it says, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the what? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. Because of the resurrection, a lively hope by the what? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can endure trials through His grace, through His power, as we focus our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, who did not stay in the grave, but He rose up. And as we think of the things that we are going through, how they are temporal, you know, someday we are going to gain complete victory in Christ. You know, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith someday might be what? Found unto praise and honor and glory at the what? The appearing of who? Jesus Christ. As He left the earth, He is going to appear once again in like manner. Because of the what? The resurrection. He rose up from the dead. You know, what have we focused on this morning? Have we focused on maybe that hardship, that trial, however great it might be in our lives? Or today, can we retune our thoughts to the resurrection of Christ and the inheritance that fades not away, that is reserved in heaven for you? One thing that we find that the resurrection did for the apostles, not only did it give them great ability to endure great hardships, but it also gave them great energy in the proclamation of the gospel. You know, how could such a truth, how could these people endure so much? You know, the Russian believers that went through persecution behind the Iron Curtain. You know, the people in the prison camps, the labor camps, I mean, all they had to do was deny the Lord Jesus Christ, and their lives would be so much easier. You know, but how could they endure all those things? Well, they what? They believed in the resurrection. They knew that Jesus Christ had conquered sin, that He had conquered death, and that the things that they were experiencing were only temporal. You know, how could they proclaim the gospel in spite of the persecution? I mean, proclaim the gospel even in the very prison camps that they were serving in. How could the apostles proclaim the gospel in spite of the persecution that they faced? Well, it was because of the resurrection. If you read in the book of Acts, we already looked at Acts chapter 17. You know, what was Paul proclaiming? Well, he was proclaiming the resurrection of Christ. We go to Acts chapter 4. For verse 10, we looked at how Peter was boldly proclaiming the resurrection. And notice what it says in verse number 33. It says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of what? Of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all." You know, the apostles had firsthand experience of the resurrection. I mean, they saw it. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they had obviously a great privilege in seeing the resurrected Lord. You know, when you experience a great event firsthand, you know, many times you boldly proclaim, you know, what you saw. I mean, if you saw something great happen, I mean, I'm sure if you were, maybe if, you know, somebody in our church was over in Japan and the great tragedy that took place, you know, but if you were there and you saw everything took place, I'm sure you would be proclaiming, telling everyone the exact events. You know, we like hearing people tell stories that what? That experienced them firsthand. And here the apostles experienced it firsthand. But the fact is, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say to Thomas? He said, "Blessed are those that what? Believe that have not seen." You know, the fact is, we have a greater opportunity for blessing this morning as we put our faith in what was accomplished in the resurrection, without having actually seen it with our eyes. You know, but we have what? We have a more sure word of prophecy. You know, we have the accounts of these eyewitnesses. You know, this morning, do you really believe that Jesus Christ rose up from the dead? Do you really recognize the power behind the one who rose up from the dead, and that someday he is going to be the judge, and that the very words that he spoke that are recorded in Scripture, the very words that he spoke here are going to judge your life someday? You know, if you really believe that, you're going to what? You're going to act in accordance with what you believe. And the apostles here were able to what? Proclaim the gospel boldly, because they really understood the resurrection and what had taken place. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, this is the last place I'll have you turn this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse number 9, it says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." It says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Folks, this morning, the power of the resurrection, when we place ourselves under it, means that we will be delivered from that coming wrath. And what a great truth to think about this morning, is that his Son is coming back from heaven. But we will be delivered from the wrath that is coming upon all those that have chosen to reject him. This morning, do you recognize the power of the resurrection? Really ought to give you the power to proclaim the gospel. The power to endure trials. The power to grow in your walk with the Lord as you recognize what took place, the power that worked in your life at salvation, the fact that you're going to be a trophy of God's grace throughout eternity because of the resurrection power in your life. The fact that that power carries with it the fact that someday we are going to be judged by the risen Savior. But the great encouraging truth that that power is the power to what? To save us. That conquered sin. That conquered death. There's nothing else that can be added to it. Otherwise, we are saying that that power is insufficient to save us this morning. May you empty yourself of any religious practices. May you empty yourself of any good works or anything else that you are hanging on to this morning and put your complete dependence upon Jesus Christ. And if you are a believer already this morning, may you be encouraged to endure. May you be revitalized, so to speak, in your passion to proclaim the risen Savior. And even though you may receive flack for it, even though you may receive harsh words for it, you realize that someday you will receive that inheritance, that treasure in heaven that fadeth not away, that is reserved for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great love that has been shown us. And we are reminded of that love as we contemplate the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. That he was, as he cried out on the cross, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Lord, the great love that you showed us in sending your Son, the great love that Christ showed us. And Lord, this morning as we contemplate the great power of the resurrection, as Jesus Christ showed his power over the grave and over sin, and that our justification is found in what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Lord, I pray that if there are any here that have not turned to Christ, and although they may recognize that the resurrection has taken place, they have never realized the great results of that resurrection. Lord, that they might turn to Christ alone. And Lord, for believers today that may be encompassed with a load of care or may have gotten their eyes on something else that is only temporal, Lord, may they refocus on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning and no one looking around, I'd like to maybe ask a couple questions this morning. First of all, you'd say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord has spoken to my heart this morning, and I realize that I am not truly saved, that that quickening power of God has not worked in my life, and that I am still dead in my trespasses and sins. But I need the power of the resurrection, the resurrected Lord, to come upon my life this morning. And I need to turn from all else and look to Jesus Christ alone for the salvation that he accomplished for me. Is there anyone like that this morning and say, you know, I don't know for sure that my sins have been forgiven, and I realize this morning, Lord, is speaking to my heart about my need of salvation and trusting Christ alone. Is there anyone like that this morning? The Lord has spoken to your life about your need of salvation. You know, remember, he is the one that is going to judge you someday. Is there anyone like that this morning?
All right, I wonder, believers, this morning, has the Lord spoken to your heart? Maybe you've grown discouraged. Maybe you have really, maybe it's you've grown lax in your zeal. And this morning, you need to be reminded of the power of the resurrection and what Christ has conquered. And where you will be someday, the new life that you will have, that you already have, but the completion of that someday. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart about maybe something you've grown discouraged about. Maybe it's the giving out of that message of the gospel in a renewed way. And you say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord has spoken to my heart, and this morning I need to remind myself of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished in the resurrection, and stop focusing on myself and start focusing on what He has done. Is there anyone like that this morning? The Lord has spoken to your heart. All right, you can put those hands down. Is there anyone else? All right, let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord, we just pray that You would, Lord, just continue to work in our lives. May we go home today refocused on the great power of the resurrection. Lord, it's not just something out there, but it's something that can take place, Lord, within our own lives. Lord, something that has taken place. Lord, if we have trusted Christ alone as our Savior, and may it provide motivation for us to live for Christ this morning, we pray in His name. Amen.